Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. Today's guest is Marina Adair. Marina is a number one national bestselling author whose fun, flirty contemporary romance has sold over a million copies. In this interview, we chat with Marina about her writing process, her latest book, Romantically Challenged, and a round of book recommendations. Now let's go to an interview. Hi, Marina. Welcome to the What's Your Next podcast.
I'm so excited for being here. Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm married, been married for 25 years. I'm a mom of a 19-year-old college freshman. I love beer, burgers, and romance.
I love it.
And all things Jane Austen. I can't get enough Jane Austen.
So what's your favorite Jane Austen novel?
Probably Pride and Prejudice and Emma would compete for that top slot.
Okay, that sounds good. And do you have a preference in terms of retellings or movies for Jane Austen?
I love the Emma retelling, or the film of with Gwyneth Paltrow in it.
Yep.
But my favorite Jane Austen retelling is the late 80s or early 90s. It was Pride and Prejudice, and it had Colin Firth in it, and he just stole my heart. I still dream about Colin Firth in that movie.
Yes, I agree. It's a great one. It's a great adaptation. So.
Yes. And then, of course, there's Clueless.
Yes, there's Clueless. Yes. And what better can you talk about that? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So what inspired you to become a writer?
So actually, I was in grad school. I was getting my MFA in screenwriting. And midway through grad school, I realized that I actually didn't like being on the set. I didn't like Hollywood. I didn't like anything having to do with the making of film. And so a mentor of mine had said he was talking with a class and said, if he had to do it all over again, he would actually become a novelist rather than a screenwriter, because as a novelist, you maintain rights, not only to your book, but creative license. He had been an Oscar award winning screenwriter who was brought in at the last minute to doctor up Blade Runner. Mm. And so even though it wasn't his idea, he ended up winning the Oscar for it. And the guy who actually wrote the original screenplay was never mentioned in any of it.
Oh, wow.
And so that kind of, and I was also at an age when I went back to school that I had a 7-year-old daughter at the time. And so I couldn't spend 16 hours a day, 7 days a week for, 2-3 months straight on the set.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started writing novels and was instantly hooked and never looked back.
I love it. And so were you always writing romance novels, or were you writing different genres?
I started out writing, my very first novel was a young adult. It was a paranormal YA. Mm-hmm. And it took me 3 years to finish.
Okay.
And then one of my professors said, hey, you really need to focus on using your other senses, like not just what you see, but what you hear and what you smell. So mm-hmm. why don't over the, it was between 2 years of grad school, it was over the summer. He's like, why don't you take that time to write a novel and explore some other senses? And I thought, well, rather than getting lost in everything, what would be the funnest thing for me to write? Mm-hmm. And I thought a romance novel. And so I decided I would make my heroine blind, because then I would be forced to explore different ways of describing things.
Mm.
And it didn't sell. It did land me my agent. Okay. It didn't sell though. However, years later, 2 years ago, actually, it was actually published and the title was Promise Me You.
Mm.
So, but it did, that book did land me my agent. And then as soon as I landed my agent, things completely took off. And I quickly sold 7 books to 3 different houses within 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
And from there on, it's kind of been a marathon. It's been great.
So are you a fast writer, or how do you do it? How 7 books and for 3 houses? That's a lot.
It is. So I had written the first book in each one of the 3 series that I sold.
Okay.
Because I would write a book and send it out to publishing houses. And then I would start right back in on my next book and send it out to publishing house. And I started on my 3rd book. And that's when I actually landed my agent.
Mm.
And so I ended up selling all 3 first books to different houses. And then I got nervous because I had to come up and quickly write the other books in the series that they each bought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is insane. Oh my gosh. So let's talk about writing. Do you follow an outline, or do you see where this relates? Yeah.
Oh no, I follow an outline. I am the biggest plotter you'll ever meet. I'm obsessed with plotting. I need to know my characters' names. I need to know their fears, what they need, what motivates them. Pretty much every scene of the book, complete with the location of each scene, the dialogue in each scene, is completely written out before I ever start writing the first word of the story. And my outlines get to be incredibly long, anywhere between 20 and 25,000 words. Mm-hmm. But I get together with my plotting partners who have completely saved my life. I plot with Jill Chavez and Sky Jordan and Rayanne Thane. And a couple times a year we get together and we map out each of our next books. And there's no way I could have done this without the 3 of them. They're like godsend.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I discovered Jill's book about books last year. And then I realized, oh my gosh, she has like hundreds of books in her backlist. And I got to interview her and I was like fascinated by her process too. So it's great that you actually work with her. You know,
yeah, and she was actually my dream, like my dream, not only dream career to have, but my favorite contemporary romance author.
Yeah.
So when I first met her, I fangirled hardcore. Mm. And then over the years, we got to know each other and realized that we were very similar in the type of heroes that we picked and the type of heroines we picked and how we structured stories. Mm-hmm. So it kind of became a natural fit when we started plotting out books together.
I love it. So how do you organize yourself as a writer? How do you keep track of ideas, inspirations, and characters?
So for new ideas, I use the Notes app on my iPhone. It's great because at the end of a long day of typing, I don't have to type anymore. I could just talk into my phone or my iPad. And I have everything in there from backstories for characters to a line or two of funny dialogue that I might come up with. And so that's where I keep all that organized. And for my stuff that's already out there, I make a Bible, a very detailed Bible for every series that I start. And it comes in really handy. The first couple books, it's always easy to keep track of. But once I hit like book 3 or 4, mm-hmm. I start forgetting. I get my characters mixed up. And so it's really great to have a Bible to go back and reference, especially for secondary characters, mm-hmm. or the color of someone's eyes or how old they were when the series started. Mm-hmm. So that I know when I'm on book 4 and if we've moved forward 5 years in that series, in that world, then I'll be able to calculate how old they would be now.
Mm. Yeah, I think it just makes sense when you start writing series. Like, it just, sometimes it just models itself. It's good to have some resource to just be reminded of the different characters, different tidbits of the series.
Yeah, and that was a little tidbit I learned from Sky Jordan, who said that she uses a Bible to keep all of her characters straight. And I'm so glad I learned that little tool because it's helped me a lot in the years.
That's amazing. So do you share your work along the way or do you wait till it's completed for others to read?
I prefer to wait until it's completely done and I've read it over a time or two before I hand it off to my editor or agent.
Okay.
Because I find that no matter how thorough my plot and outline is, there's always little things that change along the way as I'm writing it and as I move deeper into the story. And I want to make sure that when I give my editor and my agent my first draft, that it's my best work so that I can apply their edits and their edits actually apply to how the story ended up being. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So what was the source of inspiration for Romantic Lead Challenge?
One of my favorite movies is Three Men and a Baby. And I wanted to do a fresh spin on that, where I have these three alpha men with completely different personalities who are tied together by this one little baby. Mm-hmm. However, in my world of Rome, it's not a baby. It's a, she happens to be a hormonal boy crazy teenage daughter. Mm-hmm. And I just love the idea of these three men who have all been kind of playboys at one time or another over their lifetime. They're now raising a teenager who's wanting to date boys who were just like them when they were her age. Mm-hmm. And then another thing that really inspired me is I've always been fascinated by unconventional families. And maybe it's because my mom and grandma both passed away years ago. Mm-hmm. And the family I find around me now, the people who I consider my mother, my parents, and the guy who I consider my brother, we're not blood related. They're people that I've met along the way who become so important in my life. They're like family. And so I wanted to really explore different kinds of unconventional families in this series. Mm-hmm. But the, you know, what the things that draw people together and the things that keep them together. Mm-hmm. But the biggest inspiration behind this whole story was my daughter, Twee, who's actually adopted from Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I brought her to the States when she was about 3 months old. Mm-hmm. And so that was a huge part of the reason I wanted to tell this specific story with this particular heroine.
So let's talk about Annie, because she's based on your daughter. Can you expand upon why this story was so important to share?
I wanted to write a story where my daughter could see herself in the world. Mm-hmm. And I wanted a heroine who looked like her, struggled with some of the same issues that she did, and still managed to find her happily ever after. Like Annie, my daughter Twee is a woman of color who was raised by two white parents, and she's felt kind of stuck with a foot in each world. She's often told me that she's not Vietnamese enough to hang out with the Vietnamese kids, but she's not white, so she never really fit all the way in with the white kids. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to tell a story about a woman who was kind of an in-betweener, mm-hmm. stuck in the same situation with a foot in each world and not sure how to fully go into one world or the other without having to leave someone behind. And so the older my daughter got, the more important it became to me that she was able to find herself in whether it be movies she watches or books she reads. And so I wanted to write a story that showcased someone who was like my daughter.
Yeah, I love Amy as a character. I love her journey and just her discovery of the process. Like, you know, not only living in a new place, but also connecting with the Vietnamese community and then seeing the differences with, you know, connecting with her parents and just the family situation. So it was a really great story to share.
I'm so glad that you enjoyed it.
So let's talk about Emmett. Emmett is a player who's dated a lot of people, but yes. He's out of town for most of the time because he's a photojournalist. He has a daughter, which he shares custody with two friends. How important was to showcase all these different relationships in Emmett's life?
I think it was important because Emmett, like we all are, is a, he's made up of all of his experiences and all of those people in his life. And so in order for me to show who Emmett really was, I felt I couldn't do that without showcasing all of the different relationships in his world. And at its heart, this story is also about finding identity and figuring out where we belong, which I think all of us struggle with. Mm-hmm. So like my heroine, Annie, Emmett also finds himself kind of in a very unconventional family where he's not really sure where he fits in. And that's part of what attracts them to each other. Emmett shares the role of dad with two other men, his daughter's stepfather, as well as his daughter's uncle, who considers himself her surrogate dad. Mm-hmm. And everyone knows that there's three's a crowd. Mm-hmm. And so when things get crowded in this world, Emmett finds that he's the one that's kind of pushed to the side. Mm-hmm. And so he's struggling to understand where he belongs in his daughter's life. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for him because he didn't know that he even had a daughter until Paisley, his daughter, was 4 or 5 years old. And by that time, she already had a stepfather and she had her uncle who acted as her father for the first few years of her life. So he came to the game late, and there's constantly a battle of who gets to sit at the head of the family table. And so showcasing all these different relationships and how they play into his insecurities as well as his strengths, helped bring a full character to the page.
Yeah, I really found Emmett's journey just to be just overall like a journey of growth. Like he was able to set some groundwork of like, you know, seeing how his role in the family is, how his role with Paisley is, but also like how he, even his relationship with his father, like just be able to just continue to find his way to set some, I don't know, like set some grounding like back in Rome as opposed to, you know, picking up and leaving, which is what he's been doing for the past, I don't know, 20 something years.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm once again, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Emmett was a hero that I held near, almost as near and dear to my heart as Annie. Mm. And so telling their story was kind of an honor for me to tell this kind of story. And I enjoyed doing it.
I love it. So Emmett's teenage daughter experienced the loss of her mom, and she's growing up trying to find her way while pushing her parents away. What was the research like to get this part right?
So a lot of it comes from my own life. As I mentioned earlier, I lost both my grandmother and my mother, but I lost them within a year of each other. So the two most important women in my life disappeared at a time when my daughter was young, and I needed their advice on how to be a good mom and how to deal with all of the different things that daughters put their mothers through. And I didn't have those people to call. And so I thought about what would be the most difficult time in a daughter's life to lose their mother. And to me, it came back, it would have been their teenage years. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it I pulled from my own experience of just that wondering of, how do I get through these next phases of my life without the advice of my mom? Mm-hmm. And for Paisley, it's how does she get through high school and college applications and her first crush and her first kiss without having her mom there by her side? So most of the research I did came from personal experience.
Thank you for sharing. So what are some of your upcoming projects?
So the next book that I have coming out is actually the second book in the Rome series, and that will be Levi's story. Mm-hmm. And Levi, is finally about to get his freedom. So he's kind of done it all. Everything that a husband would do, from being there for a spouse and doing the whole parenting thing, being the responsible party for the family, but yet he's never been married. He's done this all for his sister and his niece. And now with his niece almost ready to go off to college, he finally feels like he has the free, he's going to be an empty nester, and he has the freedom to go back out on the open seas, which is something he loves. And so he sets his sights on going on a trip down the coast, the east coast of the continent, all the way down to the southernmost tip of South America, which was a trip him and his dad had talked about doing, but his dad had passed away when he was younger. Mm-hmm. But once he gets his mind wrapped around this idea that he's finally about to be free, he ends up meeting and falling for a woman who's grounded in Rome and can't leave for the foreseeable future. So he has to choose between getting to take this trip of a lifetime that he's waited almost 20 years to take, or is his biggest adventure of all really right there in Rome? Oh my gosh. And then another thing I have coming up is called Blame It on the Mistletoe. It's a novella that's in a Christmas anthology coming out in Christmas of this year. I think it comes out in October of 2020. And it actually follows Noah Tucker, which is the middle brother in Tucker's Crossing is the first book in the series. And it's the Sweet Plains, Texas series. And I have gotten emails from readers over the years, when are you going to tell the other Tucker brothers' stories? And so I can finally say that Noah Tucker's story is coming out this winter. And I'm really excited about that.
Oh, that's so exciting. I love
it. Yes.
So now let's go to a round of book recommendations. This is an opportunity for you to share with the audience what they should read next. So what is your favorite genre?
So my favorite genre is contemporary romance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and who is your favorite author?
Favorite contemporary author, hands down, Jill Shalvez. Mm-hmm. And favorite romantic suspense author, Suzanne Brockman.
I love it. You're the second person who's mentioned Suzanne Brockman, so I gotta pick her books up.
Oh my goodness, make sure you read her Troubleshooter series.
Yep, that's the same series.
So good.
Priscilla Oliver has mentioned her, and she's like, he's my book boyfriend, do not take him away. So yeah. I love it. You're basically saying that I just need to buy it and read it. So
yeah, fantastic series, fantastic author. Everything about it is so yummy and alpha delicious. You'll end up reading the entire series in a matter of a few weeks.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. So what has been a book that you read this year that you love?
Kiss Quotient. It opened my eyes to, first of all, it has a Vietnamese heroine, mm-hmm. which, and a Vietnamese hero, which I loved. But everything about the book, it was just to me a fresh twist on like Pretty Woman, and told in such a relevant and timely way.
Yeah.
If you haven't read it, or if your reader or listeners haven't read it, they have to go read The Kiss Quotient.
Yes, I agree. It's a great read. Tell us where you can find it online.
So, of course, my website, which is marinaadair.com. And then on Facebook, I'm under Marina Adair. And then on Instagram, my handle is Marina Adair Author.
Awesome.
And those are the three places I hang out the most.
I love it. Thank you, Marina, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance-loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you once for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.